It would seem that all the earth is looking to Miami, seeking a diversion, seeking a way of escape from the temporary things of this world. And yet all of heaven is looking at where my son is seated, says God. They're watching him to see if this might be the moment when he would stand up, when he would stand up in victory, declaring that the time is at an end and it is time for the kingdom of heaven to enter into the realm of the earth in a way not seen before. They're looking for and anticipating not an escape, but for the real reality to show up, for the saints of the past to be lifted up and exalted, to prove that the faith of men has not been empty, nor has it been in vain, but the coming of the King is at hand. All of heaven is looking at the throne where my son is seated, full of anticipation of that which is yet to come. And so should my people look and have their eyes upon me, says God. For you know not the time nor the hour of the appearing of my son. But I'm telling you, it's closer than it's ever been before. And I'm telling you that that day will arrive at some point. When it will arrive is dependent upon my timing, says God. But that day is ahead, and that day is soon to appear, when all heaven and all earth will join in one voice, in one celebration, praising and magnifying the King as he comes riding in on a white horse, as he comes upon the clouds filled with the saints of the air, coming back to reclaim what is his rightfully. For I've already paid the price, declares God, and I've already set my time, says the Spirit. And Jesus says he is ready at any moment to come and put things in their right place. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. For I am not slow compared to what some would think. Neither am I in a hurry to close up all matters. But there is a time set, and men are becoming aware of that time. That's why they're clinging so desperately to their false beliefs, because they see it falling out of their hands. And it scares them because they have no higher authority than that which they have taken on themselves. For their authority is of this natural world, and that authority is passing away, says God. But the authority of my Son, the authority of Jesus Christ, I have given him all authority in heaven and on earth, and that authority will never diminish, but as my word says, it will increase and increase and increase till it fills all the earth and all of heaven with my glory, declares God.
Okay. I take that you're ready for the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me get a drink of water real quick. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I want to start off this morning with a verse we used last week, last couple of weeks, I think, from John 3:34. Now, we're talking about the year without measure. We're talking about what is the measure of God, and we've been looking at that from a couple different angles. But in John 3:34, it says, "For he whom God has sent," talking about Jesus, "speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." Now, that's an awesome verse, to think about. God does not give the Spirit with measure. Does not give the Spirit by measure. And we want to put limits on God. We want to restrict Him. Well, God has done this much, and then we have to fill up the ends of it. We have to finish up what God hasn't completed. And that's not the way it is. John prophesied, he says, for he who has the Spirit speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. God doesn't give each of us a different measure of the Spirit. We all have the same measure. Now think about it. I can go to John 14, John 16, and it says, Jesus says, if you believe in me, I will come and make my home on the inside of you, and I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will live on the inside of you. And he says, oh, and the Father is going to come, and he's going to make his home inside of you. So when you got born again, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all dwelling within you. So when he says he doesn't give the Spirit by measure, we're saying, well, I got the Father, I got the Son, but I only got this much of the Holy Ghost. No, he doesn't give the Spirit by measure. And we talked about that, how men, we use a natural measure and we portion things out with it. God doesn't portion things out. He gives you the whole measure. His measure, we're going to find out, and we talked about this last week, his measure is Jesus Christ. If Christ lives in you, then all of Jesus lives in you, not just a part. If the Holy Spirit dwells within us, not just a part of the Holy Spirit, but the fullness of the Spirit lives and dwells in us. If the Father lives in us, it's not a part of the Father, it is all of the Father. Otherwise, he's a liar. Because Jesus said the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will all come and we'll make our home in you. And yet we act like, well, I only got a part. I only got a little bit. I don't have enough. You have been born again in the Spirit, made new, made alive, and you are now in your spirit man, wall to wall, God. Wall to wall, God. Our problem is our soul. You know, as your heart prospers, as your soul prospers, our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. And we're working at renewing our soul to who we really are in our spirit. We are born again. Your soul is how you think, but your soul is not all that you are. Your soul is that person, how do I say it, caught between God's supernatural and the natural. And your soul is that part that combines the two. And our soul has been destroyed because of sin. And our soul has learned to think wrong, to hook up to the wrong emotions, to hook into the wrong intellect instead of the Spirit of God. Because when you were dead, you were separated from God. But when you got born again, your spirit man was born again. Did you notice you didn't think differently automatically? You had to renew your mind. You had to learn how to think differently. I remember in one of the churches I pastored, we had responsive readings in the back. And the responsive readings, we would turn to them every now and then because we like to do things in repetition. And we would read that, and some of them would go very, very much like this. Lord, I am a worm. I am made of the dust, and to the dust I will return. We're all saying this together. Lord, I am not able to lift my head up to you. But God, please pour out your blessings upon us. Well, I got tired of that because it's wrong. So I wrote a new confession for us to say together. Father, we are sons and daughters of the Almighty God. We have been filled and renewed with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Father, all things are possible for us because we are believers. We're not doubters. And God, we're the head and not the tail. And the church denomination called me on the carpet because we don't say things like that around here. See, this is what sin does to you. Because sin makes you look at yourself, I'm a worm, I am below everything. How many of you, don't answer this, but many people pray, oh Lord, if I could just rise up just enough, and Lord, if I could just look into your eyes just for a second, it would all be worth it. Well, you're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, amen? That's what the Bible says. Well, if I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, why am I going in as a beggar? Oh, God, please, if you would let me. God, see, we don't know what we have. This is the renewing of the of our soul about the measure that we have. Now, one of the key verses I'm keying in on is John 3:34, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now, real quick, let's go to Matthew 13, 44 and 46. And we talked about this last week. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, here's a man, and he said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. You find a treasure. And I thought it was interesting. He hides the treasure. Okay, he finds it, hides it, because it's in property that he doesn't own yet. And in order to get the property where the treasure is hidden, he goes out, and this treasure is so abundant, it is so fantastic, it is so amazing, he sells everything he has so he can be sure to buy the field. That's the new birth. Because see, when you find the kingdom of God, you can't afford it. But you go and sell everything you have, because if you're going to receive the kingdom of God, you've got to give up what you have in order to get a hold of what God has for you. If I want the treasure is the kingdom of heaven. The treasure is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, you've got to change. Repent means to turn around, change your direction, and you've got to begin to think differently. This man began to think different, because most of us would say, you know, I know there's a treasure out there, but, you know, I can't afford it. I'll never be able to get it. Somebody will buy the field before I get there. And we come up with all these excuses, so we don't even bother to sell what we have, because the treasure isn't worthwhile for us to sell what we have. We would rather cling on to sin, defeat, despair, failure, than go on to seek the kingdom of God, because what if someone will buy it right before me? Well, the treasure is the kingdom of heaven. It's hidden for you. And I can give you a Bible verse where God has hidden the treasures of God that we would seek it out. But you've got to be willing to seek. And so often we miss the things of God because we're really not willing to seek. Because we've already convinced ourselves it's too good, it's too much, it'll never happen for me. And what that is you're not walking in the full measure of what God has given to you. The next verse, verse 45, says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. He's looking for pearls. You know, we all like pretty things. 46 says, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he found one pearl. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, that pearl, again, was worth so much. It's representing the kingdom of heaven. It is so valuable. It is so important. Now, the other day when I was meditating on this, when you get a great treasure that's worth selling everything you have, you've got to have it fixed in your mind that treasure will meet all my needs from here to whenever I don't have any needs. See, if the treasure isn't worthwhile, if it isn't significant to meet all of your needs, you're not going to sell what you have to get it, because you're going to see the treasure as not being enough, and you're going to keep back a reservoir of when the treasure runs out, I'll have my IRA to fall back on. And I'm not against IRAs. That's good, wise planning. But we plan ourselves out of the blessing sometimes, because we want a fallback position. When you sell all you have, there is no fallback position. It is kingdom of God only. It is, I can only head in this one direction. I have to keep going in that direction, because that treasure, I'm telling you, the treasure of the kingdom of heaven can supply all your needs forever. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. It'll supply all your needs forever. It is the pearl of great price. It is the treasure that is worth selling everything you have to go get it. Now, Jesus is speaking about the value that we put on the kingdom of God. So this is a question for this morning. What is the kingdom of heaven worth? What is it worth for you? Is it worth selling everything you have, of giving up everything and going after that kingdom of heaven? No, some people that, well, if I would do that, I would lose my home. No, 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 no. In the kingdom of heaven, there are homes. We're worried about, well, if I give up something, this is how natural men think. This is a measure that we think of. If I give up this for that, then I won't have what I just gave up anymore. But Jesus said, but you'll have homes. He'll increase what you have. You'll have more. You don't. We think in terms of lack. God thinks in terms of abundance. If you seek me, you shall find me. And we say, oh man, I gotta seek. And God said, but isn't what you find worth it? Isn't it greater than what it is that you, you know, I had to work. I had to seek you. Yeah, but it's worth it. And see, even in church, this is something that we've got a barrier that we have to break through. God is worth it. Healing is worth it. Success is worth it. Whatever the price you have to pay, the kingdom of heaven is worth that and more. Because you can't buy it. You can't buy the treasure. You're buying the property that the treasure is hid in. We're renewing our mind that the treasure is hid in our spirit, and we're renewing our mind to that treasure that is buried within our spirit man so we can bring it out. We can produce it in this life, not just in the life to come, but we can produce it in this life. John 3:27, another pivotal verse I want to bring out. For he whom God has... Oh, I'm wrong one. John 3:27. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Again, this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And they say, look at Jesus' ministry. It's increasing, and yours appears to be diminishing, John. What do you do? He says, a man cannot receive anything other than what has been given to him from heaven. Now, this is more than just about the ministry of Jesus. Unless God gives it, you can't receive it. See, we're trying to use our faith to create something, and we don't trust that God has given us the kingdom. I've got to do something to create it, but God says it's a gift. You can't have it unless I give it to you. Well, God, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to work this until you decide to give it to me. And God says, but I've already decided to give it to you. Well, no, I'm going to work for it, God. I'm going to work real hard for it, God. I'm going to work diligently for it, God, because, Lord, I've got to have this, and it's worth it. And Gordon preached a sermon on selling all you have, so I'm going to work to get. And God says, I've already given it to you. Again, you're not buying the treasure, you're buying the land the treasure is hid in. We're renewing our mind to receive what God has already given to us. And so when you begin to understand that God has given you salvation, it's easier to receive salvation. Because I don't have to earn it. I can't earn it. I don't have what it takes to earn it. I cannot force God to forgive me. God, I'm going to grab hold of you until you forgive me of my sins, God. I'm going to hang on to you and hang on. And wait a minute, he's already forgiven you. Why are you fighting a fight for something that is already yours? And we find ourselves doing this in the church, even as believers. We want to believe, but we're trying to fight a fight because we're not receiving. We don't trust that God has already given it to us. And so we must do it on our own. The kingdom of heaven is not from men, but it is given by God. John 3:34 again. For he whom God sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now we know, if I would ask you this question, we know that Jesus has the Spirit of God without measure, right? There's no limitations to Jesus. We all agree on that. Whatever Jesus said comes to pass. Amen? We all agree to that. When Jesus prayed for people, they were always healed. Yeah, that's right. We know that every devil had to submit to Jesus. We know they had no choice. We know that sickness has no choice. Devils have no choice. If Jesus cast them out, we know it is a done deal. Sometimes in the parables and the examples of the healings and things in the Bible, we don't even finish reading the parable because we know Jesus is going to speak to the boy, speak to the devil, speak to the situation. We don't even read the answer because we already know what's going to happen. It's like we already know the end result without having to go on it. But now listen to this. John chapter 1, this is where I want to settle in today. Probably next week too. John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive them. Now, he's talking about the Jews. Jesus came to his own, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. That word is exousia. That means power, authority. He says he gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, to understand this, it's simple, but we need to think about it. We are not born because of our will. We're not born again because of our bloodline. It wasn't every Jew didn't get born again, but every Jew, but Jesus came to the Jew and said, hey, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ, I'm the one who was to come, I am the deliverer, I am the king, I am the Lord who healeth thee, I'm Jehovah Rapha, I'm Jehovah to Sid Canu, I'm all these things, he all wrapped up in one. He said, I'm all those things, and the Jews, and he said, you can have me, and Jews said, no, we're looking for another. We're looking for someone else. Because he rocked their theology. He rocked their way of thinking. You know, we have a way of thinking in the church, one of these days, God's going to do something great. One of these days, and it's always future. It's always future. You know, Jesus interrupts that. He said, the kingdom of heaven is now. Repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's present. That's not a futuristic statement. That's in the Hebrew, that's saying the kingdom of God is right now. So you need to repent. Get your mind lined up with how God thinks. Have the mind of Christ. And when you do that, the kingdom of God will manifest. It's not future, it's now. Today is the day of salvation. Boy, you can interpret that a thousand ways. Today is a day of healing. Today is a day of prosperity. Today is a day of abundance. Today is a day of wisdom. Today is the day of my strength. Today is the day of all these. Just insert whatever you want. Today is the day of salvation because salvation includes all those things. Amen? It includes all that. So the new birth does not, Jesus is telling them that the new birth does not come because of our physical lineage. John is writing for the Jew. The Jews were the called out ones, special to God, unique in that God separated them unto himself, just like many today who call themselves Christians. The church has become the modern Jew. Well, I'm a Christian. Jesus came to his own, but they did not receive him. Jesus has come to the church. Now, we've said it a lot of times, but it's so true. If Jesus would appear in most churches in person and say, I am him, the church would reject him. Because they've already got their pattern of thinking about how Jesus would do things. I think this is why a lot of people do not believe in the second coming of Christ. They've already ruled it out, and don't confuse me with Scripture. You know, it's like we don't, Scripture can confuse you sometimes. Because you hear preachers say, well, we don't need to repent anymore, you know, repent of our sins, and yet Jesus preached repent. Well, that was Old Covenant. Well, in the New Covenant, I'm telling you, we still have to repent. When you think about repentance, it's not groveling. It's not, oh, God, please forgive me. It's not going back to God over and over. Repent is to change direction that you're going. If you're going in the wrong direction, you need to repent. Turn around, go in the way that God wants you to go. And when you do that, guess what? You get to where God wants you to be. But if you keep going in your own stubbornness, did I say that? If you keep going in your own way and your own understanding, you're going to cut yourself off from God because, well, God, I want to do it this way. And God says, but it's over here. But God, I want to go to my right, but it's on your left. And we confuse ourselves because we think we're doing everything we know to do, and you probably are, but we're not making the right connection. And a lot of times that connection is as easy as it's in the future. One of these days, it'll come. One of these days. In Romans 3, 21 to 24, it says, but now, everybody say now. Now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, the righteousness of God has now been revealed through Jesus. That righteousness of God is now in us because we are believers in him. Amen. See, most of us would agree that. But now, if you're right with God, and there's no barrier between you and God anymore, then God has already given that to us because we couldn't receive it any other way. We have to receive our righteousness. You can't make yourself righteous. There's no good work you can do. There's no deed that you can do. Say, well, if I do this and I complete it by Friday, I will finally be righteous. Righteousness is a gift. God has already given it. Therefore, my faith can appropriate it because God has already given it to me because he gives the Spirit, say it with me, without measure. And if I have his Spirit without measure because he's given me his Spirit, then I have all things that are within that measure of Jesus Christ. Let's keep on reading in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Remember, God does not give the Spirit by measure. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Think about it. It says, we beheld the glory of Jesus Christ. This is the same Jesus. If he spoke a word, the demons fled. If he spoke a word, sickness departed. This is the same Jesus that manifested the fullness of God himself. And here it says that glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, this is the one that John said is going to come after me but was preferred before me. And he says, of his fullness. Whose fullness? Jesus. Of his fullness, we have all received. Isn't that amazing? The fullness of Jesus. The measure of Jesus. We have all, if you're a believer, I don't care if you're 2 days old or 30 years old, you have received the full measure of Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing in the church that when a young believer gets a miraculous healing, and we've been standing and believing one for years, well, look at all I've done, and we will get offended at it because we think, how can he have faith for a miracle? Well, he has faith for a miracle just like you have faith for a miracle, but he's just open enough, he just receives it. And if you've been in church for 3 years, you've been taught you've got to earn it. And so we're believing God, trying to earn our miracle. And the new kid in town, he doesn't know enough just to receive it. You know, if my father would walk up to me and give me $100, I'd say, thanks, Dad. If a stranger walks up and gives me $100, what's this for? I question it. I'll challenge it. What do you want for this? Because I'm expecting I have to do something to earn the $100. But even if my natural father walked up and gave me $100, I'd just take and say, thanks, Dad. I wouldn't ask him another question. Because if he gives it to me, it is now mine. And if my dad would come back and say, now, this is how I want you to spend it. Oh, no, I'm sorry, too late. I've already got it. It's in my possession. You can recommend, but it's my $100 now. I'll do with it what I want. But if it's a stranger, I'll question, I'll challenge it. And to too many of us, God is a stranger. Now, I know we love him. I know we're born again. I know that we come to church. I know that we seek the Lord with all of our heart. But God is still a stranger because you don't have a personal intimacy with him. And I can say that about all of us because we can all be more intimate, right? Every one of us, including the pastor, we can all be more intimate. We can all spend more time with God. We can all pray more, study more, read more. We can all fellowship more. We can all do. So there's, but see, that's because it's given to us, not earned. Well, who do they think they are that God does this for them? They just think they're a child of God and they just go that way. Kids never ask their mom and dad, you know, questions, they just take it and run. they're just happy to get it. Hallelujah. Let me read this same scripture from the Amplified Bible. For out of his fullness or abundance, we have all received. This is verse 16. We have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. We've received it. That's you. You've received this. Well, I certainly don't feel like I've received it. There you go again, going by feelings. See, if God says you've got it, you've got it. We receive it by faith. Lord, I agree with you. Sometimes that's all faith is. I just agree with you, Father. Have you ever tried to work faith? I have. Usually it doesn't work too well. You know, because I'm trying to work it. I'm trying to con God. I mean, I'm trying to live my life to a measure that God will give me something because I don't realize that he's already given it to me. It's like the prodigal son. You have to wonder sometimes who is prodigal, the one that went away or the one that stayed home. Because remember, when the one we call the prodigal comes home, the son that stayed there, when they killed the fatted calf, he says, Dad, you never did any of this for me. What does he say? Everything I have is already yours. You could have had your friends over. You could have partied. You could have killed the fatted calf. You could have, everything I have is yours. And the guy scratches his head. I don't understand, Dad. Because he thought you had to demand it and leave the Father to have it. But if you're with the Father, everything that belongs to the Father belongs to us. Amen. He said, wow, it blows my mind. Mine too. But this is who God is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that we could believe in him, that we could receive salvation, that we could receive knowing who God is and receive a right relationship with God. But it's because God gave this to us. John 1:17, the final verse here says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We receive grace because it came through Jesus. We receive truth because it comes through Jesus Christ. Again, John 3:27, a man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. Oh, man, I'll go on. Just got 5 minutes left. See if we can do this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace. By grace we've been saved through faith. I mean, grace is God's already given it. Faith is I'm receiving it because I'm going to believe what God has given me. It's already mine. I'm receiving it because God has already given it to me. So by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. See, it's the gift of God. That means God gave it to you. Well, what you talking about, grace or faith? Both. He gives you grace, he gives you faith. Because you couldn't believe unless God gave it to you. I don't have the ability to believe in something I've never seen unless God gives it to me. Years ago, they said they could motorize a vehicle and drive around with gasoline. Nobody believed them. They said they could create an airplane. Nobody believed them. Nobody, you can't make it fly. It's heavier than air. Only birds can fly. If man were to fly, God would have built him with wings. You know, all these different platitudes that we had. And yet, somebody had a spark of God, imagination. I think I can build a contraption that'll fly. Leonardo da Vinci had all kinds of designs. He developed helicopters, developed airplanes. They didn't all work, but Edison said you only needed to have one success to succeed. So one man saw into the realm of the spirit and saw, I believe we can fly. We just have to figure it out how to do it. But now we fly around and we don't think anything about it. It's just natural. It's just people fly everywhere except to China today. You know, but we're flying everywhere we go. We're flying, all because one man heard. heard from God and believed what he saw, believed what he heard from the Spirit of God, and went about to create it. Because God gave him the vision for it. Amen? So it goes on to say in verse 10, let me go back to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That created in is a powerful statement, because in King James, when they interpreted, they were tried to be precise with some of these words. We thought, well, in, by, no, it doesn't mean by, it means in. We're not created by for good works by Jesus Christ, but we are created for good works in Jesus Christ. In other words, the works that we do are in Jesus, but we're created in Jesus to do the good works that Jesus did. Not just by him, in him. Now, it's a whole lot different being beside somebody and being inside them. Now, I like Colossians, one of my favorite verses. I won't quote it because I can't remember what chapter and verse, but it says, we are hidden in him. I'm not hidden beside Jesus. I'm hidden in him. So when the devil comes up, he can't find me because I'm hidden in Jesus. But if I were just standing beside Jesus, devil could find me because I'm beside Jesus. Well, isn't it the same thing? No. If I'm in Jesus, I'm in Christ. See, he's poured out his fullness in me. The measure of his fullness is Jesus Christ. And that measure dwells in me. Hallelujah. Again, the Amplified Version. I'll close with this. The Amplified Version says it this way. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. Made partakers of Christ's salvation. Now, this is a Christ who was raised from the dead. This is a Christ that showed up in Revelation and said, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. This is the Jesus who openly triumphed over the devil in his stronghold of hell and defeated him. This is the Jesus that rose, and the Father says, I have given him all authority, all power in heaven and on earth. This is the Jesus that he's talking about, and he says, we are made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so that no one can take pride in himself or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Born anew. We're born in Christ. We're created in Christ. We are partakers of Christ's salvation. Everything that Jesus has when you got born again got poured into you. Everything that he is has been poured into us. That's why we're brothers and sisters of Christ. We're sons and daughters of God because we have been recreated, born again in his image. See, you had nothing to do with your salvation except receive what God has already done in Christ Jesus. To receive it as a gift. Lord, I am who you say I am. For you said that the fullness of God dwells in me. I'm just believing it. I don't feel it. I don't understand it. I don't get what this is. But God, your fullness dwells in me. You said by his stripes we were healed. Well, I don't feel healed, but I were healed. You know, I'm going to walk in that. Well, what if it doesn't? It's a lot better going around telling everybody how sick you are. You know, tell your doctor you're sick. Tell everybody else what God says. Don't believe every report that everyone puts off on you. You can walk around your whole life, you know, I'm nothing but a failure. I'm nothing but a loser. Nothing ever works for me. Nothing ever goes my way. Everything I do falls apart. Nothing works. Nobody likes me. You can walk around, and guess what? It'll all come true. And you will have the confession of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, you need to get a different abundance in your heart. All things are possible for me who believes. By his stripes I was healed. I am the righteousness of God. I am created and am a partaker of his righteousness in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'll really close with this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If I'm in Christ, I are a new creation. Okay? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now get this in verse 18. I love this. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now all things are of God. Why? He's reconciled me. What does that mean? That means that that God has no problems with me at all. Now I can do what Hebrews talks about. I can come into his throne room with expectation. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be embarrassed. I can come into the throne room of God and ask whatever I will, and he'll give it to me. Wow. See, but I've got to learn how to think that way. I've got to learn how to walk that way. This has got to be more than a dream, more than a hope, more than a wish. This has got to be how I begin to think. It's called faith. It's a way of life. The righteous shall live by faith. And hope is a precursor to faith. Oh, that's a whole different message. But I've got to have hope. I've got to begin to see some things, because if I'm not born again, I don't even get to see the kingdom of God. If I don't have the Spirit of God in me, I can't see what he has before me, which is hope, so that my faith can produce it, because I can now receive what God has given to me. I can receive it because I've seen the hope, because I got born again. It all comes together, but it comes from just trusting God. It comes from just believing. He gives his Spirit. Listen, I want you to get this morning. He gives his Spirit without measure, without limit. It's not tit for tat. Have you ever heard that before? It's an old phrase. It's not tit for tat. It's not I do one thing and God does something else. I do this, God does that. I do this, God. It's not tit for tat. God has given me and made me to be partaker in Jesus Christ, in the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. That means all things are possible if I can open my mind for it. It'll work for me. Well, how long does it take? Wrong question. Because that tells me you're looking at the natural. If you believe you have it, you're looking at the Word of God, you're looking into the supernatural, and you're not paying attention to the natural. Because I already have it. I already have it. I won't go into the discussion about my left foot. Five bones are out of place. It's supposed to be disjointed. It's supposed to be out 90 degrees from my body. There's nothing they can do with it. No surgery they can fix it. It's too late for that. All these different problems. And I walk perfectly fine. I can put weight on my toes, which is medically impossible. I can stand on my tippy toe. I like that. I can stand on my tippy toe because of the favor of God. And his favor is because I believed him. And it took 2 weeks to put any weight on the foot. It didn't happen overnight, but praise God. I got back to the States. I'm asking God, give me a word so I can stand on. He said, he makes a lame man walk. And I thought, am I lame? God said, according to the world, you are. I didn't know that. Now, if I had known that, my thoughts might have been, instead of praising God for my healing, instead of praising God and worshiping him that I am already healed, I might have thought, I'm lame. I'm already lame. It's already past time. Nothing can be done about it. Oh, but God. See, God can turn it around. He can do it for all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. I got preach. I can just keep on going. Glory to God. Father, we thank you that you have given us as believers your Spirit without measure. All things are possible to us who believe in the works of Jesus Christ. And Father, we believe that at the cross, Jesus paid for it all. He even said, it's finished. It's over with. It's done with. the price, the cost to reconcile us with you, Father, Jesus did on the cross. There's nothing left for us to pay. There's no sacrifice we can give because you've already given it. So, Father, by faith, we receive the things that are hoped for. We receive the things in your word. And, Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open to see what you have for your children, for your sons and daughters, God, that we may walk in the fullness of those things now, that we may receive what you have done for us, that we may manifest those things in our natural flesh, in our natural soul, in our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, our hopes, our dreams. God, that we would receive these things imparted to us because you have given them to us in the new birth. For this, God, we give you praise and we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.